we got back on the freeway coming back, and he says, well, there's no place here but what you can take it to. The speed limit then was 65 miles. At 65 miles, it's only dual-control cars. And he said, I want you to put it at 65 and keep it there. Well, it rained just enough, spitting rain, and the highway was slick, oily, around those curves. And it was kind of scary, and you don't know too much about it. I hadn't driven, had to have the experience. And I was going out, and I let up on the accelerator, and the car didn't let up. And I realized then he had his foot on the accelerator, too. And that really frightened me, with all those trucks going around me, you know, I never let on, I just kept right on. And then we got off at Carmenita there, you know, and I'm on home. He says, well, he says, no reason, all you need is experience now. But the first time I took my driving test, I flunked it. It was on Whittier Boulevard, and the cop that went with me, I went to change lanes just shortly before I came up to a stop, because I told me I had to turn left at the next one. And he yelled at me, got me nervous, and then I did everything wrong. So I had to have another lesson, and then I said, I hope I don't have him again, so I passed the next one. And that's how I learned to drive. It just took experience, and so the first year, I was pretty nervous, but I drive everywhere now, it doesn't worry me a bit.
How did it feel to have that kind of freedom?
Well, after I got over being nervous, it was fine. I wish I'd learned sooner. But it took a while that I felt at ease, you know. I was just really nervous about it all, like some people that don't drive very much. But, I drive all the time now when I get the gas. I don't drive like I used to because it takes too much gas, only just what I have to. But it's nice to be able to get around. I know if it comes where I can't drive, I'll be completely lost.
When you were taking your lessons, did you tell anybody you were going to do it?
Yeah, I think I did. Now, oh, I called my brother-in-law. He used to live here in the park. And I asked him if I thought I ought to spend that much money to learn to drive. And he says, yes, by all means. So I thought, well, that's all right. Then he tells me to, I will. But it just took Don making me good and mad. And I never told him until about 2 or 3 years ago. And I told him, and he laughed. He says, well, it worked, didn't it? He did it on purpose. He's quite a guy.
What made you decide to get involved with the senior citizens?
Well, I'll tell you, I had a friend in Whittier that I used to go down to see quite a bit, and she was ill. And I'd go down 2 or 3 times a week, and then finally when she was in the hospital, went down every day, every other day, and then every day till the last. And after it was all over with, and about a month or so, I began to realize all I was doing was watching soap operas. I wasn't getting out and doing anything, and I thought, that's not going to work. And my daughter had been trying to get me to go over there to eat. And finally, when I did go and see what it was, I volunteered to work. And says, I send Mother over there to eat, and what she do? Go to work. So I've been working ever since. It's not hard work, and it's enjoyable. I met a lot of good friends over there. And on call, if they need me any of the days, that they know I can come up, they tell her, if you need me tomorrow, give me a call, I can come in. And sometimes, once in a while, she'll call, not often, because they have about 8 volunteers every day, and certain days they come. Once in a while, they can't come, and they'll get somebody to take their place, like that.
When did you move here to Pomona?
1971, May, about 9 years ago. And Arlene is responsible for that. She said, I was down there, and the thing, I got sick or anything, it'd take them a while to get down there, and there's no reason why I couldn't live up here. She looked into this, and it seemed that the man I brought my coach from, his 2 boys had horses in a corral back of Arlene, and her daughter, youngest daughter, had a horse then. And they were in the same corral, and of course, knowing her, how she talked, she got interested, got acquainted with him, and told him about his mother, and made an appointment for me to go up and talk to him. Well, it happened to be Saturday, it happened to be raining, and I called her, and I had company. And I said, Arlene, I can't come, it's raining, and I've got company. Well, Mother, you have to come. I've made an appointment for you. And he canceled other appointments so he could talk to you. You've got to come. And she just hear her. so I come. And the result was I bought a coach. I fell in love with him. So that then I never was tired. I wish I'd done it earlier. But then I bought it in February, but it wasn't ready to move in until May, all set and everything. And the kids moved me up here in a big U-Haul truck, what furniture I kept. I bought all the living room furniture in here. I kept that down for it. And my bedroom out there. But other things I got after I got up here. But mine were about worn out down there.
How is life different for you here?
Oh, entirely different life. Entirely. Yeah. Many more friends your own age. The first few months, I just kind of sat here and didn't do much. My brother and sister-in-law would take me places once in a while. But I finally came dawned on me, well, if you're going to have a good time, you're going to have to get involved. That's all there is to it. So I started getting involved, and the result was I got more involved than I wanted to. I got into so many things, I didn't have time for anything. It was the committees, you know, to put on the meals. And we play bingo every Tuesday night. And there's a sing-along once a month. I don't go to that regularly because I don't sing. And then on a Friday, there's several we women. We play Pokino. There's eight of us. We have our own little group there. We play in the clubhouse. They call it the gambling room. It's a poker table that we play with. We play with pennies. And then there's the breakfast, and there's the ladies' day luncheons. Something every week, and it does trips. Besides, I belong to the So-and-So, which is a Methodist group that years ago, when we first came to California, we belonged to the Young Married People Sunday School class down in the old church on Thomas and Main, which since then has gone broke. And this Sunday School class kept together and formed this club, the So-and-So, S-E-W-N-S-O club. And they sew for charity, make little knee robes and baby clothes for the baby fold here and things like that. And they get together and gossip. And then they used to, then in the summertime, they usually have potluck dinners. Used to be that a lot of people had nice patios, but there's only one couple now that has a big backyard. And we go there and have dinner out. And we don't do any sewing. The men come to that. And then Christmas, they have a Christmas party someplace. One time it was a Mission Restaurant, and one time it was Great Falls, and places like that, you know. And right now, though, so many of the men have died that there's very few men left. And so we're beginning to bring, yesterday with so-and-so, I was to it, bring in the younger group, which are the daughters of the women. And they're beginning to take over because they don't want it to die out. And I don't know how long it'll keep going, but we old women, we're all in our 70s and 80s now. And we take sack lunches so that we meet at people's houses, and they furnish the tea and the coffee and maybe cookies or some little thing for dessert, but you take your own sack lunch, and that makes it easier on everybody, you know. So that's once a month. And no, just I just did it.
And you have a gentleman friend, yeah.
Oh yes. I do, right here in the park. And I have him up for dinner every once in a while. If I'm cooking, decide to cook, and you'll use him eating alone, I say come on up. Sunday I baked the chicken. And had real potatoes. I didn't had the powdered potatoes, mashed potatoes. And gravy, and he's up for dinner. And then Monday, his son invited us out there for hamburgers. And then Tuesday, we came up here to finish the chicken. No, he's a pretty nice guy. He's an assistant director here in the park of all the festivities we had, you know. And he's the commander of this World War Veterans Post. He's a pretty nice guy. But then, it's not, it's all fine, it's going to go. Neither one of us want to get married again. He's got his coach here, and I got mine, and neither one's big enough for two people, and neither one of us could afford to buy another one if we wanted to. And so we're just company for each other. Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts about the future? What do you think?
Well, I think I'll stay here just as long as I'm able to take care of myself, and then we'll see. I don't ever intend to go live with any of my family. I don't think that's the right thing to do with younger children. I don't know whether I could take it or not now, because some of them about drive me crazy. But I think I would rather go into, like Emerson Village, where it's one room, you know, we have one room apartment, or to have to be a rest home where somebody takes care of me. I don't relish the thought of going into one, but I would rather than impose on my family. And I have quite a bit of hospital insurance, anything like that. I don't think that they would ever have to put up any money for that. And I have my lot out the cemetery all set, so even my headstone up, so that's all right. I told them all they have to do is just dig a hole and put me in.
You're set.
I'm all set. So, no, I intend to stay here just as long as I'm able to take care of myself. I hope I'll be able to drive. I have to take driving tests next year. Last time I got it for 4 years, but I don't know whether I will again or not. You never can tell what they'll do. It's no trouble when I get the literature from over there and study it, because they use your common sense. It's just what you can do and what you can't do. And I usually pass that 100%. I've never had to take a driving test, though, since I've been driving. I just had to take the written test. And now if you're not 70, all you do is send your money in and to Sacramento, and they send it back for 3 years. You don't even have to take a written test. But after you get past 70, you do. And I imagine you get past 80, you might have to take a driving test, too. Because there's a lot of people past 80 driving that maybe shouldn't be. And I don't feel I'm one of them, of course, but some of them are that way. They probably feel the same way. Mm-hmm.
You have a real large family.
Yes.
What kind of contact do you have with them? How much do you see them?
Oh, I see them quite a bit. My daughter from Riverside and her son come over. Well, before gas got so high, they used to come over about every other Sunday. But now they, about once a month. I don't go over there too often. I used to go quite a bit. Of course, I see Arlene quite often and her family. And every time I have a birthday or anything, they make a big deal out of it. And they all come at about the time they all get here. Tammy lives in Long Beach, and she has two little girls. Karen lives in Englewood, Hawthorne, I guess. She has a grown son. He doesn't always come. And her son, Donnie, lives in Claremont, and he has two children. The twins, Nan and Jan, one lives in Alta Loma, and one lives in Glendale, and they each have two. And they all get together, you know, they always come. And there'll be, 28, 30, something like that.
How many grandchildren and great-grandchildren do you have?
I have 14 grandchildren. And 9 of those are Arlene's. She had 9 children. And I have 14 great-grandchildren, and another one due in November. And I've got to get busy and crochet an afghan for that one. Since I've quit work, every new baby's come along, I've crocheted an afghan for different styles, and I've got to get busy on that. No, I think a big family, and they're all so good to me, that I think it's wonderful. They all got their own ways going, and they're all doing pretty well. So that one granddaughter in Oregon, that's Jeannie's daughter, that's coming down in a couple of weeks, for 3 weeks with her family on vacation. I hadn't seen her for 2 years, so I'll see her. The daughter up north, they have three children, but they're all grown, but the daughter, the youngest one, just got married. The two boys aren't married, and Benny is 27, I think. Yeah. And Steve is 35, and he's not married. I don't imagine he ever will be. He's a confirmed bachelor. He's an engineer. And then he's just graduated from dental college a year ago. He's working in a dental clinic in Oakland, saving his money, made more money than he ever did, and going to have his own practice. He's got picked out just where he wants, saving up to have his own practice, going by himself, and he'll be okay. And all three son-in-laws are doing pretty good, so I guess I don't have anything to worry about.
I didn't ask you about menopause and what that experience was like for you.
Not much. I kept looking for something to happen. It didn't happen. I expected hot flashes. I never had any. And I worked all the time. And I just scratched the equipment, straight, and that was it. I never had any uncomfortable times or anything.
That's wonderful.
I expected to, from what I'd seen other people, those hot flashes, talk about it, affected a real rough time. But I was awful disappointed nothing happened.
How old were you?
I was 54, but older. You know, when I went to work during the wartime, I was afraid they wouldn't hire me because I was so old. I was 44. No, I feel I'm quite lucky. I got off pretty well with that.
Looking back, can you think of a time that was the happiest time in your life?
Well, I think about the happiest time is when the children were all home, growing up. And they were either all in high school at the same time. Only 3.5 years difference between Arlene and her youngest sister. We put a lot of times around our house when they were all going to college, you know, and I think that was about the happiest time when they were growing up.
What about,
They never gave us any trouble.
What about unhappy times?
Well, we went through a depression. I don't know if you'd call it unhappy. We just didn't have anything. We couldn't lose anything because we didn't have anything to lose, but we didn't have much either. And about the most unhappy time, I guess, was when I'm going through that for a year or two. I think that would be about the most unhappy.
What about most fulfilling?
I don't know, I think that's what I'm doing now, about as fulfilling as anything. Getting out and helping some people. I take several people around when they don't have cars, going places. I'm just doing what I'm doing now. I think it's about as fulfilling as anything.
How do you feel about the women's movement today?
Oh, I just don't pay much attention to it. They want it okay, but I still think a woman ought to be a woman and not try to do what the men do. In the case like, say, Mrs. Carter, I think she'd be more admired if she was a lady and stayed home in the White House instead of campaigning all around. I like my first lady to be a lady and stay home and take care of the social end of things. I hope Mrs. Reagan will if she gets there.
What about women like you and me that have to work? And
well, we have to work, but we have to work, and I think it's stand up on your own 2 feet and don't let people run over you, but don't carry it to the extreme. You like to have people, like if you go out, you like to have them open the car door for you and go through, hold the door open for you. Little niceties that they used to do all the time, but a lot of them just don't pay attention to now. I still like that. I still get it. And I think that's nice, but on the other hand, I think you don't want to let people run over you. Just be a little assertive and help yourself. That's the way I look at it, and I don't know whether that's the women's movement or not, but...
What about the ERA, Equal Rights Amendment?
Well...
Think about that much?
I think to some extent... extremes, I don't think that equal rights, if like having to be drafted or anything, that's all right if they want to, but there's plenty of things they can do without going to the fighting line. I think they should have, if they can do the work, be paid the same as a man. If they can, I don't think they should ride on their merit, you know, or a good luck streamer. I think they should earn what they get. But if they want equal, I wouldn't fight for equal rights like some of them are. I still would want them to be a lady. Maybe I'm old-fashioned. I'm not going to let them run over me, but I still want to be a woman.
I think it's real different today growing up
Sure. And the morals are so much different now. Why, any couple that lived together without being married years ago, that would have been a big scandal. Now you don't think anything much about it. They do it, and that's that. That's their business. That's okay, I guess. You still pay attention to it. I don't think it's right, but then that's okay. I'm not the one. They want to? Okay.
How do you feel about the different roles that women are playing now?
What do you mean?
Well, more women are working, more women are mothers.
Well, more women are having to work. They start out having the things that we used to consider luxuries. They're necessities now. And it takes two paychecks to have those things. And they're raising a family. I feel sorry for the kids. They're babysitters and nursery school. I don't think they're getting the attention they ought to have. I think they should have their mother with them when they're young. But on the other hand, if they're going to have these other things, it takes two paychecks to do it. And I suppose that's what they think is the most essential.
And a lot of them.
I didn't have my first electric refrigerator until 1938. Arlene was a senior in high school. And I was thrilled to death. I got a Montgomery Ward one. $7 down, $7 a month. I still remember. The little 6-foot one with a little freezer in the middle for ice cubes. And I was thrilled to death to get it. Now, like this granddaughter of mine that got married, she has things there that a married couple of years ago would work a lifetime to even get part of what she's got, given as a wedding present. I hope she appreciates it. Maybe she will as time goes on. I think she does in a way, but she's never had to do without things like they used to, especially now my girls grew up during the Depression, and they know what value of a dollar is because they had to do without things. They babysat for 35 cents an hour, and the woman always left the dishes for them to do and things like that. They were tickled to death to get it. I can't see anyone sitting babysitting for 35 cents an hour now.
That's true. Are there things about your life that if you could change now, things about your life, if you had it to do over again, are there things that you would do differently?
Oh, I suppose there are. If I knew then what I know now.
What kinds of things?
Yeah. Let's see. I probably would have been a little more conservative in some of the things I did. Probably wouldn't have worried so much about my girls growing up as I did when they were young. Oh, I don't know. I made some investments that I know now. Then what I know now I wouldn't have made. But I guess all in all, everybody does that.
What about your experience at going to work at Douglas during the war? Looking back on that experience, how do you feel that it affected you? How do you feel that it affected your life?
Oh, it changed it all around. I'd never made money like that before, and I'd never been that free. Well, you work and you bring home the paycheck then wasn't anything like we have now. You go to work for 60 cents an hour like I did. Worked for 18 years, and when I quit, I was making $3.29 an hour, which was top wages. They don't even go to work for that now. Well, it changed your life. You're much more independent. You learn how to take care of yourself. And you learn how to get along with people. I guess about that would be about it.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Are there things that we haven't talked about? Things that I haven't asked you that?
About what?
Well, about your experiences at Douglas or things about your life, maybe things that you're doing or feelings that you have that we haven't talked about yet?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I think you just about covered everything.
Okay, good. Well, then, when you're here, and I want to thank you.
Yeah, you're certainly welcome. If I helped any, I probably think of things after you're gone. I should have wrote notes down, I guess. But I think I've covered most anything.